Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It's the final hour of Steel Talk, and thank you so much for hanging out with me. I'm so honored that Geralyn allowed me to host the show in her absence. I'm Shaletta Brundage of the Two Hot Mamas podcast right here on WCCO Radio Online, and I've been with you all night. We've had some amazing guests and so much fun, and I've got to tell you, I got a text from my girlfriend Patty Wetterling today, and she wanted to let me know about a story out of Fort Worth, Texas. There was a little girl who was abducted, 8 years old, by a stranger, no familiar relationship at all whatsoever. And Patty said, Shaletta, you've got to get folks talking about this, because what I shared with her last week is something that happened to me when I was in downtown St. Paul. My 4-year-old son, Daniel, and I were, you know, doing some business down there. He had his little iPad. He was strapped in his stroller. He has autism, so he doesn't talk. And we were coming out of an office building over on Minnesota and 4th Street, walking to a parking ramp. And there was a woman who was walking behind me. She looked at my son, said he was cute. And I said, well, thank you. You know, a lot of people say he's adorable. He looks just like his mama. Well, she began walking right beside us, and she tried to touch the stroller. Then she wanted to touch his iPad, and I kind of got away from her. I started walking pretty fast, and I went into the parking ramp, and I thought, well, maybe she's just being a little extra friendly. And turns out she opened the door and came to the elevators that we were standing at. And I thought, okay, I may be the crazy lady, because it seems like this woman is following me, or maybe she just parked in this ramp. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to cool out. I'm going to wait. And so we got on the elevator together. I don't know why I got on the elevator with this woman. She pressed 2, which, okay, that's good. I'm on 3. So she did park in the ramp. This is just a coincidence. Well, the doors opened for the second floor. She did not get off. And I said, okay, we've got a problem. It's going to be fight or flight at this point, because I'm on the elevator with this woman. She's still at this point touching my child, trying to get over to the stroller, trying to touch his iPad, still commenting to me how cute that she believes that he is. And so the doors opened on 3, and thank God there was a security officer standing in the ramp, and I started screaming. I said, sir, this lady is being inappropriate with my baby. Can you please come over to help me? So, of course, he ran over, and to tell you that she was doing something she didn't have any business doing with my child, she ran down the stairs. She didn't get back on the elevator, because they probably could have stopped it or had somebody meet her down there. She got on the stairs and she took out running, and we could see her because it's glass, down 4th Street in St. Paul, right in front of the Twin City Public Television studios. And the man, you know, asked me if I was okay, and I was very shaken. My son, of course, he has autism, didn't realize what was going on, had his headphones on, listening to his music, watching his videos. And I thought, Lord, this woman could have stabbed me on that elevator. She could have took my child, and he would never have known that he was in danger as long as somebody was pushing that stroller from behind. So when Patty alerted me to this story, I started reading and found some great work by Kaylee Johnson. She's a journalist and a reporter in Fort Worth, Texas, for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. 8-year-old girl kidnapped in Fort Worth. Thankfully, Kaylee, she was found, and the suspect is in custody. Good work on this story and letting us all across the country know what was going on. What happened?
Yeah, thanks for having me, first of all. And yeah, so it was a pretty crazy situation. Police got a call at about 6:40 that a woman said that a car pulled up next to her and her 8-year-old daughter, and a man got out of the car, grabbed the child, and pulled him into the car. And she told police she tried to jump in the car and get her daughter. Car starts driving away, and she falls out of the car. So respond to that in a, you know, the center of Fort Worth, and immediately, you know, you have tons of police going out there, and, you know, a lot of the people in the neighborhood immediately started posting on their neighborhood Facebook page and going out to help find this little girl.
Oh, my God. And she didn't know these folks. She was just out with her child minding her own business.
Right. And what police have told us so far is that the person was not related to the family in any way.
Oh, my God. So how did they wind up finding the suspect and the little girl?
Well, and that part is what's really crazy. So like I said, this happened at about 6:40, 10 p.m. They released the little girl's name and description, and the police are posting everything they can on social media, description mm-hmm. of the car, description of the girl. Mm-hmm. And while I was at the crime scene, then we kept having people come up to us and asking, just, you know, people in the neighborhood asking, how can I help? How can I help? And police kept telling them, you know, if you really do want to help, go out and look for the car. And so at about 2:30 in the morning, then we just hear cheers erupting from the officers around us, because two people in the community who are local church members, they apparently saw this car and they immediately told police, leading police to the hotel where this little girl was. And police were able to get into the hotel and get her safely, and she was unharmed.
Oh, my God, girl, it doesn't usually happen like that. Thank the Lord.
Right. It really doesn't. And it was just one of those things where everybody was just so thankful for the community, you know, paying attention and for wanting to help. It really, you know, the whole city came out to help find this little girl.
And, you know, earlier on the show, during the 7 o'clock hour, I had a whole hour on the kindness of strangers and how people are, you know, we think we live in a crazy world where people hate each other and they don't like each other, and it's racist and it's sexist and it's homophobic. But we really do have more things in common than we have that divide us. And people are still kind. People are still loving. People still care, and they're still doing good things for people they don't even know. These people could have been in their bed sleep and just said a prayer and woke up and hoped for the best. But they were out there searching for this little girl.
Right, right. You know, and that's something to take away, because, yes, this is a scary situation, and we don't know everything yet, obviously, but it sounds like something pretty terrifying to happen. And then to look at it in that way, that, yes, but also these strangers, yeah, took their time out of their night, you know, at 2-3 in the morning, and they went to go help find this girl.
Oh, my God. And I'm sure you know about Patty Wetterling. Her son, Jacob Wetterling, was abducted here in Minnesota. And he was tragically found just this past year, his remains. And it's been decades since the kidnapping and the murder took place. And Patty Wetterling, his mom, has the Jacob Wetterling Foundation and the Wetterling Resource Center. And I said, Patty, what do you want me to tell parents? Because it almost happened to me. You know, I don't know what this woman's intentions were. I don't know what she was trying to do. But, you know, I felt like my baby was in danger. Were police saying anything to you guys to tell parents to be more careful? It's almost summertime. These people are out there. The predators are preying on our children.
No, they didn't say anything like that last night. You know, some of the neighbors were posting in the Facebook page. A couple of them were saying that they have surveillance cameras outside of their house, and that helped them review the footage and see the car that was, you know, part of this suspected kidnapping, and that helped the community find the car. So a couple of the neighbors did point out maybe, you know, getting these surveillance cameras, the doorbells that are also cameras, can help the community watch out for each other in these situations.
And, you know, one of the things that Patty always tells me is talk to your kids. At any age, in an appropriate way, don't scare them. She said, you know, child abduction is rare, but there are some good tips on how to talk to them on the Jacob Wetterling Resource Center website. It's jwrc.org, or you can go to missingkids.com, missingkids.com, because it's summertime. The kids are going to play. They're going to be outside. You're going to be in the kitchen cooking, or you may be, you know, doing some work in the yard while they're riding their bicycles up and down the street. And there's just some things that we can do as parents to be more careful and just a little bit more aware of what's going on around us. But girl, I'm not going to lie, Kaylee, this situation with my son and seeing this little 8-year-old girl kidnapped in Fort Worth, girl, it scared the bejesus out of me. Were people just kind of on high alert, or were they more concerned about finding this little girl?
I think a lot of people were just posting, we need to find this little girl. I didn't see a lot of, you know, I'm scared for my safety now. Everybody at that moment was just saying, this is what we're focusing on. We need to find her. And, you know, luckily she was found. And I think that's really great. And there's even some support now for her. I know that there's a neighborhood walk going on tonight just to support her and let her know that the community is there for her in the aftermath of this event.
Now, how important is social media? Because back in the day, you used to have to wait for the 6 o'clock news to come on to find out somebody was missing. You all were putting this out there on your social media. The community was retweeting and reposting your posts. I mean, it was instantaneous that people were made aware of this situation.
Right. And that's a great point because, you know, now we have things like Amber Alerts that everybody gets on their phones, and the community Facebook page, everyone was keeping updated with each other. Fort Worth Police have a Twitter account that they were updating with the description of the car, description of the child, and everybody, you know, was following along with that, following along with the media that were there. So I, you know, definitely think that's a great point, that with all of this social media out there, you can get that information out very quickly, and in a lot of cases, it's very integral to get that information out to as many people as possible, as quickly as possible.
Now, I know you've been up all night working on this story. Thank you so much for these wonderful pieces that you've put up at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, all your social media posts as well, just kind of keeping us updated on what's happening. What's next for this suspect? Do we know when he's going to appear in court?
I don't think that they have set a court date yet. The last I heard, he was possibly going to be charged with aggravated kidnapping. So we're going to keep updating, you know, what's going on with him as a suspect and when his court date will be, and keep you guys updated on that as much as we can.
And, you know, the scariest part for me is that, you know, the incident with my son happened at 11:30 a.m. You know, we were broad daylight walking down the street. This little girl, you know, it was daytime. You know, the sun was out. This wasn't, you know, midnight at a gas station or, you know, in a dark alley. You know, these people are coming for our children in the middle of the day.
Right.
It's so scary. Well, Kaylee, I truly appreciate all the work that you've done to get the word out about this little girl and following up online and on your social media. You're a wonderful reporter and broadcaster. And thank you so much for being a part of Still Talk. And you, girl, you have highlighted our day to let us know this 8-year-old girl who was kidnapped in Fort Worth is found safe and she's with her family.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Have a great night.
You too.
All right. Bye. And you guys stick around. Don't go anywhere. There's more to come on Still Talking. We'll be right back. It's Shaletta Brundage here from the Two Hot Mamas podcast, filling in for Geralyn Steele on her day off. It's Still Talking, and tonight I will be your host, and it is my honor and my privilege to do so. Now, I'm not a Debbie Downer, but I gotta say, this story had me in the dumps. There is a lunch lady. She works at a school, and she was fired after letting a student take food for free because he didn't have money to pay for it. It was at Muscumba Regional Valley High School in New Hampshire, and he told the lunch lady he didn't have money. It was an $8 lunch. The kid promised to bring the $8 the next morning, but she went ahead, you know, having a heart, which is what you're supposed to do with children, and compassion, gave him the lunch, expecting him to bring the money back. Well, her supervisor saw it, wrote her up, and fired her. Accused her of violating the procedures of the company and stealing. They basically said she was stealing for giving this kid, you know, a free lunch. And the New Hampshire union leader who represents the workers that are at the cafeteria said, hold up. So they had a hearing. The company apologized. They said that, you know, they would give her job back, but now she won't take it. She says she's not going to go back to that company, and I don't blame her. Who would want to work for a place so heartless and so cold-blooded? I know I wouldn't. And I was so excited to see that our Attorney General, Keith Ellison from Minnesota, he is on the line with me, is making sure that something like this doesn't stop kids from getting their high school's diplomas. Now, Keith, thank you for talking. I appreciate you being here.
You know, it's great to be on with you, Shaletta.
I know. We're like go way back. So it is so good to finally talk to you. Just you and I, not like Chad Hartman or Corey Heppler or somebody else. It's just me and you one-on-one.
Yeah, those guys are cool, but nothing like me and you kicking it. You know
what I
mean?
On a Sunday night, too? Okay. You know, it don't get no better than this.
That's right.
Now, I'm so excited to see what you are doing with these lunchroom debts. And, you know, the state is able, the schools are able to withhold high school diplomas because of that. Tell me about that and what you're doing.
Well, they're actually not allowed to do that. That's what my attorney general opinion was all about.
Mm-hmm.
I issued a binding opinion that indicated that schools were not to deprive students of services for graduation because they have lunch debt. So we issued a binding opinion. School districts are not allowed to do that. And that opinion has the force of law. So we fixed that.
And, you know, this hurts kids who are already struggling. If you don't have money for lunch, then you've got some other stuff going on at home. And the last thing you need is somebody holding you up if through adversity you found a way to get your high school diploma.
Yeah, well, you know what? Free and reduced lunch programs, for the kids who are really in deep poverty, they get free lunch. For the kids who family is making a little bit more but is still close to the poverty line, they get it reduced. Now, the truth is, everybody knows that in America, if you're close to the poverty line, you're in poverty.
Right, you know, right. If you're knocking on the door, you're usually at the house, yeah.
Right, right. And if these are families where if the carburetor goes out or if the refrigerator goes out or if you got to bail somebody out or anything, you know, any kind of unexpected bill can really throw your family budget way out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that, you know, the kids, you know, end up having a lunch debt and the parents end up having to suffer for it. And the kids end up having to suffer for it, and the families do too. My own belief is that this country is wealthy enough to make sure that every kid who needs a free lunch can get one, mm-hmm. you know. And I've had people tell me things like, well, who's going to pay for that? How about Amazon? They pay no taxes. They pay absolutely no taxes at all. None. Their business model has displaced millions of small mom and pop stores all over the country, and they don't pay any taxes. So why not get them to pay? Oh, what about Boeing? They don't pay any taxes. Or what about Bank of America? They don't pay any taxes. You know, as a matter of fact, there's plenty of money out there if mm-hmm. we were to just get folks to pay their fair share. We could actually do very well in terms of making sure every kid had proper nutrition, and we wouldn't have this lunch debt problem at all.
Mm. And speaking of wealth, you are looking at the staggering drug prices, and you targeting staggering drug prices. It's been all over the news. You're trying to make sure that we don't pay 5,000% above market value. And I truly appreciate it because I've got a 4-year-old with several health issues. And sometimes mm-hmm. those prescriptions can eat at my salary.
Well, there's no doubt. Well, like, you know, we have a woman who's in our community, Shaletta. Her name is Sheila Smith Holt. And she is a mom like any other. Her son, you know, he grew up. He was on his mother's health insurance till he was 26, as Obamacare allows you to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then he aged off of it. And he was a diabetic. He had type 1 diabetes. And after he aged off of it, he had a job. He didn't really want to ask mom for any money. But he started rationing his insulin.
Mm.
And he went into what's known as ketoacidosis. And he died.
Oh, my goodness.
26-year-old young man lost to us because he couldn't afford his insulin. And it happens to people every single day all over our community. at the Attorney General's office, we're doing a bunch of things about it. One thing is we filed a lawsuit against about 30 drug manufacturers and who are selling about 100 and some 20 drugs. They engaged, we believe, in a conspiracy to fix prices.
Mm.
So with that, so in the United States, you can't fix prices. You have to compete. And so, but what they did is they just got together on their text messages and other things and said, hey, we're about to increase our prices. Instead of you, you know, taking my market share, why don't you just also increase your prices and we'll both make more money?
Right.
Right. That's called illegal price fixing. Can't do it. So we're suing them for it. And we filed that lawsuit on Monday. And then on Friday, we're already suing Purdue Pharma.
Yeah, I saw that.
We're already suing them, but we amended our complaint to include the Sackler family. So Richard Sackler and seven of his siblings and other family members run this privately held corporation that makes billions and billions of dollars selling OxyContin, which is an extremely addictive painkiller, but they said it wasn't addictive, and they said the long-term effects were not a problem, and they made a whole bunch of representations that simply were not true. And as a result, we're in a national crisis when it comes to opioid addiction. At least two Minnesotans a day die of
wow.
opioid addiction, and about 150 Americans die. And it's not just the deaths, you know. I mean, we've seen in the last decade or so hospitalizations due to opioid overdoses increase about 200%, ER visits over 250%, a tremendous amount of pressure on our child welfare system, out-of-home placement system, because, you know, if you get somebody addicted to drugs and they still got kids.
Right.
And, you know, and so there's a lot of pressure on our court system, hospital system, public health system, and they cannot just get away with it. So we amended the complaint to hold them accountable. So we had a busy week last week.
I was going to say, you should be taking a day off because y'all had a lot going on.
We're hoping that the legislature passes a bill to allow everybody to be able to drive if they can safely operate a motor vehicle. You know, in 2003, Timothy Pawlenty made it so that you have to have a proof of citizenship or legal status to be able to drive. Before that, we didn't have it that way. We'd like to have, I believe in the Freedom to Drive movement, which says that if you can safely operate a motor vehicle and insure it, then you ought to be able to get a license.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be, immigration shouldn't have nothing to do with it. So that's, we're pushing that. We're hoping to see a bill to regulate HMOs, you know, health maintenance organizations in Minnesota, you know, used to be always non-profit. You know, we didn't have any for-profit health insurance companies in Minnesota. We had only nonprofits. Then they passed a law in 2017 to allow for-profits to come in. And I think that without proper regulation, that could be a real mess.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're hoping to see a bill passed on that. Then we're also looking at some stuff on wage theft. There's a lot of people who don't get all the money that they've earned on the job. And we're hoping a bill passes to help people with that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also an important piece of legislation that deals with seniors' issues and ripoffs that seniors face, and we're trying to help our seniors keep their money. And so there's a number of things we got going on. And
yeah.
So I've had a busy weekend too.
Has this new gig for you been overwhelming? I mean, it seems like you got my head spinning. I can't keep up. I have the notes in front of me, but it still seems like a lot.
I love it. It's why I ran. You know, I mean, to me, Congress is very important. I was honored to be the congressman in the 5th District for 12 years. I did the best job I could, and I loved every second of it, and I felt really privileged to serve the 5th District. But, you know, I just felt like Congress, you know, you get up and make a bunch of speeches, and then rarely does anything ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now it's high profile. You know, you turn on the Sunday morning shows, you see members of Congress on. You turn on MSNBC or Fox or whatever, you see members of Congress on there. But the truth is they don't actually get to do very much.
Right.
In this job I'm in now, we're doing something on the daily, right?
Yeah.
Every day. So
yeah.
The profile is a little lower, but the action is much higher. Whereas in Congress, yeah, they're on TV, but actually ask them what they've actually passed.
Mm.
It ain't much.
Yeah.
Mm.
You are on your grind. That's for real.
I love it.
Now, how did it first?
I've got a passion for it.
How did it first catch your eye? I mean, folks are not just going out. You know, people say, "Oh, I want to run for office. I want to, you know, be a congressman. I want to be a senator. I want to be a governor." You got, you know, 3,500, 4,500 folks trying to be president, but you don't hear people saying, "I want to be the attorney general of my state." How did it, you know, first cross your mind?
How did it occur to? Well, you know, here, let me tell you. Here's how it first crossed my mind. I was in Congress, and I would introduce bills, pieces of legislation to try to help people solve problems. It was very difficult ever getting hearings. And when we did get the hearings, it was tough to get a vote. And when we got a vote, it was tough to get it through the Senate. And when we got it through the Senate, only on rare occasions did we ever get the president to get it to the president's desk to sign. I did pass some bills, and I'm proud of those. Help tenants in foreclosure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I help credit card holders. I was able to help people who live in manufactured housing, what some people might call a trailer park. I was able to pass bills that I'm really proud of, but not very often. It was very rare.
Mm-hmm.
Like Paul Ryan was in Congress. He never passed a bill
that
he was the lead author on. Paul Ryan, the famous Speaker of the House,
mm-hmm,
never passed anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. And so I passed around 4 or 5 bills myself, but that's in 12 years. There was one bill, Shaletta, and it was called a bill to ban the practice of no poaching agreements. Now, what is no poaching agreements? It's very simple. You get Jimmy John's and McDonald's, and they would agree among themselves that they would not hire any each other's workers, and they wouldn't pay anybody more than the federal minimum, $7.25 an hour. Now, this is probably illegal under the Sherman Antitrust
mm-hmm.
Act. But I introduced a bill to say you couldn't do it if you cannot restrict workers like that. And, you know, I never got a hearing. But then I saw all these state attorney generals, you know, suing these companies for illegal restraint of trade and getting results for people. And I was like, wow, I want a job where I can get some results. That'd be nice.
Right.
So, like, right now, you know, state attorney generals, they're the ones suing the Trump administration over getting rid of DACA, you know, the Deferred Action mm-hmm. for Childhood Arrivals.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to throw out 800,000 kids who've never been in trouble, who are working, serving our country, serving in the military. State attorney generals are challenging that. You might remember the Muslim ban
that ultimately
did pass in the U.S. Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had to go back 3 times before they got it right because the state attorney generals kept suing them. You know, other stuff, like the state attorney generals are the ones defending the Affordable Care Act right now. You know, the Obamacare,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A Republican attorney general in Texas is trying to tear it down. Democratic attorney generals are suing to keep it, to maintain it. And so the real battles that affect people's everyday kitchen table concerns are being fought by state attorney generals.
Mm-hmm.
And we still do have an institution called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau,
mm-hmm.
the CFPB. You may remember Elizabeth Warren thought
yes,
of it and
yes.
got it passed into law. It was part of the Wall Street Reform Bill. Now the Trump is in there. He put a guy in there who is not doing anything to protect consumers. So who's going to protect them? Your state attorney general.
Mm.
So if people got any kind of a problem, I want them to give me a call. For example, I've been getting calls that some insurance companies are denying people who are making claims for mental health coverage. That's illegal under the Mental Health Parity Act. If that's you, call the attorney general. I know seniors are getting scammed. They're getting robocalled and
mm-hmm.
getting scammed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that happens, call your attorney general. If you're a worker on the job and you work 8 hours and supposed to get, I don't know, $15 or $10, say just say 10, then you're supposed to have $80 bucks that day. Let they give you 70, or even if they give you $79.99, and you got that penny coming, right?
Yeah.
You call your attorney general, and we'll deal. And your attorney general will fight for you to get you your money back.
Mm.
That's what I do. I'm protecting consumers, protecting workers, making sure we have a fair economy.
Well, we thank you for protecting the state of Minnesota. I can't tell
yep.
you enough. I'm not going to say this lightly, but I do sleep better at night knowing you're sitting where you are. I feel like I can reach out and touch you. I really do. And I thank you for, you know, making it better for me, for my kids who do have a lot of mental health claims, for my father-in-law who lives with us, who is a senior, who gets calls about exciting vacations every day. So knowing you're there helps me rest a little bit easy.
Well, you know what? Not enough people know what the Attorney General's office does. So you having me on is a big help because it allows us to get the word out that if you are dealing with some sort of unfair thing going on, you know, we might be a source of assistance for you.
And that's
we
the thing. People feel helpless. Yeah. They don't know who to call. They feel like they've been done wrong. And that's it. Because you can't call the police and say, you know, somebody just scammed me out of my house. Or you can't call, you know, the police and say they won't cover my child's claims, you know, because he has autism and it's a mental health thing. And now they don't want to pay for behavior therapy. What are you going to do? Who are you going to call?
Call your AG. Call Brother Keith.
Hey, you know? That needs to be on the next campaign sign.
But you know, but it's been a lot of fun, you know, and it's what I want to be doing. I'm not it's not inside of me to go get a job and just kick back and put my feet up, but I like being busy, and so it's been good.
And you don't want to go on the lecture circuit and just talk and then have people sign your book and make some book money? Y'all want to just do that, just go and talk? You want to help people? You're a do-gooder.
Well, you know, I guess that's true, right? I guess that's true. We all have to be self-aware with who we are, and like, you're a communicator, right? You get the word out. I'm a do-gooder. You're kind of a do-gooder too. So,
yeah, a little bit. Just a teaspoonful. Not too much. Well, thank you for being on Still Talking tonight. This is going to help a lot of people. And I'm going to put this up on our WCCO webpage and make sure folks have the number and the links and the email addresses so they can get to you if they need you, so they don't have to feel helpless and they know that somebody's in their corner.
You bet.
All right. Okay, bye-bye. You have a good night. Bye-bye. That was Attorney General Keith Ellison here on Still Talking. Stick around. We got more to come. And then the rain comes, which will be good because my husband just planted some seeds. We're trying to grow some grass out there in that backyard. Tuesday, breezy with the chance of showers in the morning, highs in the upper 50s. And then Wednesday, even warmer than that, highs in the low 70s. But there's a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. When we come back, we're talking all about love. It is 10:48. You're listening to Still Talking. My name is Shaletta Brundage. Gerilyn is off tonight, but she's allowed me to be here with you. I am the co-host of the Two Hot Mamas podcast. You can listen to me and my co-host Lindy Vincent on WCCO Radio online. We've got 50 plus episodes up. Just log on to the website, go to podcast, look up Two Hot Mamas. We're there with the picture. We look like two Halle Berries. Not really, but that's what we think. And you can listen and laugh along with us as we talk about love and life and marriage and family and children. It, you know, it's something we all can relate to, and we all enjoy chatting it up about our children and our spouses and our marriage. And so I said this last segment, we're going to make it all about love. I was reading an article in the Huffington Post. It said, when men step up and back to support their woman's ambitions, it says behind many great women is a male partner willing to take the back seat. And it's all about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez out of New York, the freshman congresswoman who is pretty much the most talked about politician outside of the president. And, you know, they feature an article on her husband and how he's kind of taking a background role and how he doesn't step out into the limelight, and he's there to support and be by her side so that she can achieve her dreams and ambitions. Other high achieving female politicians have also credited their male husbands about stepping up to support their careers and taking a step back. Ruth Bader Ginsburg has wrote about that as well, and how her marriage to Martin, her husband, he's an attorney in his own right, took a step back to take care of the kids while she pursued her dreams. Senator Elizabeth Warren, also running for president, talks about her husband, Bruce Mann, all the time and his willingness to relocate to Texas early in their marriage, leaving a tenured position in Connecticut. And, you know, it's remarkable that some men are willing to step up and then step back to support their women. And I had to find out how common this was. So I had to call my girl, Erica. She's the matchmaker extraordinaire with It's Just Lunch Midwest. Hey, Erica, what's going on, girlfriend?
Hello. Thank you for having me. And what a fun topic to talk about.
Girl, now you have It's Just Lunch Midwest, and a lot of folks don't know exactly how this matchmaking thing works with Just Lunch. Tell them about it.
So we set up low pressure fun dates for our busy clients that we work with. And we do meet all of our clients face to face. We're really focused on getting two people in front of each other. I think that's what's missing these days, right? Everything is technology. Everyone's meeting through apps and other ways. So we're really focused on getting people to actually connect and talk to each other face to face to see if that chemistry is there.
And, you know, when you're doing this matchmaking, the thing that, you know, I want to know is how many men are looking for ambitious women. You know, I think about my mom and dad. My dad wanted a housemaker. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom would like run his bathwater, girl, clip his toenails and bring him his food. My dad still today will not make his own plate of food because my mother has spoiled him so much. He wanted somebody who's going to be at home. And, you know, here's my husband who's willing to switch shifts so that I can pursue my dreams of becoming a radio host.
Mm-hmm. And that's a really good point. I think that, you know, through generations, it's kind of how you were raised. I think the roles now are a little reversed. I mean, women right now, for women, we have more power than ever. So I think for men, well, the answer is yes, men love ambitious women, of course. But I do think that there are still some men and women who both like those traditional roles to be there. Mm-hmm. But now more than ever, we're going to see more and more women who are stepping up into more of the limelight here. And you do want a partner who's going to support you. You want the right kind of partner to make sure that, you know, to give you the support you need to shine as bright as you can.
But what happens if both the man and the woman are ambitious? I mean, who's going to take the step back at that point?
And that's a good point, too, because when somebody, at least in their work life, you know, want to take a bigger leap or they have goals that they have set or they want to chase victories, whatever it may be, typically one partner does have to step back a little. And I think that's where the power couple kind of comes in. I think, you know, if you already are an ambitious woman, you're very successful, you want to have a partner who you can walk into a room with and feel good, you know, with who you're with. So I think that it can work, 100% it can. But I think one person does have to take a little step back to really support and give what they need. You know, all relationships are about compromise, and somebody needs to compromise a little bit.
Now, is that harder for a man to do? You know, I just think about a couple of friends of mine who are very successful, and sometimes they don't celebrate as much, or, you know, for lack of a better word, they dumb it down because they don't want to, quote unquote, offend their husbands, or they maybe get a little jealous and then cause a little bit of tension. And, you know, you kind of wonder, well, you know, if it was him, we'd be celebrating. We, you know, pop champagne and we, you know, toast and high five and have a little, you know, party to, you know, to congratulate him. But because it's a woman, we've got to, you know, not make too many waves about it. Otherwise, people will think we're being too haughty.
Of course. And I think that has happened in the past. And I think that we just need to feel a little bit more empowered when we want to celebrate our victories. And I think that it can be hard for a man who maybe has only seen growing up and not really seen, you know, women in his life be more successful or, you know, really taking that lead. So I think we'll see more of it here and there in the future. Mm-hmm. But it does happen. I say celebrate it, though. You should be proud of yourself. I think when it comes to dating, focus on yourself first and get to where you need to be, because that's what's going to be attractive to that opposite person you're meeting.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think about my husband and I, and, you know, I've traveled all over for him and his career. And so, you know, I went to him and said, honey, you know, I really want to do this. I really want to pursue this. And he said, okay, well, what do you need me to do? And he completely shifted his schedule around. And he's the primary caretaker for the kids during the day so that I can work during the day. And, you know, anytime I have anything going on, he's right there celebrating, and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't want any of the limelight. He just wants to support me. And it just feels so good. I feel like I can really accomplish a lot of things because I know I have a solid foundation and a strong background at home kind of propping me up.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, good husband.
Oh, girl, yes. So how can women find, well, I mean, is there some telltale signs, you know, when you're hooking folks up as a matchmaker that women can look for if they say, you know, I really have somewhere I'm trying to go and I need a man who's going to support me?
I think that comes out in your personality so much. And I've heard from obviously a lot of my clients that dating can be hard out there these days, especially for women, because the women who are in these roles or who do have these goals, it's a little harder for them to find men who aren't intimidated by them. That's the phrase I get a lot. I feel like these men are intimidated by me. But trust me, they are out there. They definitely are out there. And I think, you know, it's timing as well. I mean, definitely call a matchmaker at It's Just Lunch. We have men who definitely want to meet successful women. And that's part of it. You know, the men and women through It's Just Lunch, everyone's invested in this. So they know that that person is going to be at a different level. They're going to be at the same level. But when you are out and about on your own, when you're looking at personality traits, be yourself on that first date. You know, really talk about your
goals. That's different than everything they tell us. We got to fake it, girl. We got to get the Crest toothpaste to make our teeth whiter. We got to do the contouring of the face. We got to put the girdle on. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Well, as a matchmaker, I'm telling you, you want to be yourself. It's my number one advice. Because you want to build a partnership with somebody, you have to start with the truth. We can't fake it at first. They'll find out eventually what's going on. Can't pretend like you're not goal-driven. And then 6 months in, they're going to find out.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Now, folks are listening. And Erica, you have It's Just Lunch Midwest available. They want to find love. They're starting over. They don't know where to start. I've talked to a couple of girlfriends who, you know, at this stage have been married several years. They've got the kids. It didn't work out. They're going through a divorce or have divorced recently, and they don't know how to get back off in that dating game, girl. Do you friend them? Do you post something on the social media? Do you Instagram them? Do you DM them? No, you just call It's Just Lunch Midwest, and Erica's going to hook you up. So what's the website?
It's justlunchminneapolis.com. Or you can call 612-355-2727.
Okay, give me that number again because you broke up briefly.
Oh, 612-355-2727.
Or It's Just Lunch Minneapolis.
It's Just Lunch Minneapolis.com.
That's it.
So we work with all kinds of clients. So if you are having a hard time even knowing where to start, just give us a call. Our matchmakers are there to help.
Well, thank you so much for being a part of Steel Talking tonight. It was a pleasure meeting you.
You too. Thank you so much for having me. Have a great one.
Okay, thank you. And you all have a great one. We've had a great night. Our legislators have come together to finalize a budget, 5 days of special session beginning Thursday, and then we can start improving our roads and infrastructure and move forward. I appreciate you having me here. It's been a great time. It's Steel Talking, and I'm Shaletta Brundage.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.